Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom and we are now in Masechet Nedarim Daf Yod Aleph Amud Aleph. We're going to take a look at Mishnah Dalet in the second parak and then Mishnah Hey. Mishnah Dalet, Hareini Nazir Amanat Shehe Shotei Yain Umitamei Lameitim. The person takes a vow of Nazirut and makes it conditional upon his ability to violate the Nazirut. Hareiza Nazir Vasur B'chulan. The position of the Tanakhama is that the Nazirut is valid, all the prohibitions apply, his condition is ignored. Yodea Nishiyesh Nazirut. If on the other hand he says, I know there's such a thing as Nazirut, aval eini yodea shanazir asur b'yayin, but I didn't know that a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, and this sounds eerily like the Mishnah that we had towards the end of Nedarim, when a person says, I know that there's Nedarim, but I didn't know I had the right to be mefer, etc. In this case, you say, Hareze Asur, it's a full Nazirut. The fact that you didn't know what the implications were is your fault. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says, no, you're not a Nazir. Now, Yodea Ani Shah Nazir Asur B'yayin, if he turns around and says, I know that a Nazir is not allowed of wine. But I thought the Chachamim would permit me to have wine, even though I was a Nazir. Because I need wine to live for some reason, health reasons or social reasons. Or if he says I'm an undertaker, so I figured they would permit that. The Chachamim say that he is not a Nazir. Shimon says he is. Now let's see. We have three cases here. And Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim have opposite rulings in case B and C, and in case A, Rabbi Shimon doesn't speak up, and we assume it's a consensus that you are full Nazir. Now, Rabbi Shimon Bereisha, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon disagree in the first clause? Rabbi Shimon Levi says something which is a little difficult, which is that Rabbi Shimon disagrees also in the Reisha. Ravina comes along several generations later in Babel and says, Bereisha lo poli Rabbi Shimon. He disagrees. He says, Rabbi Shimon does not disagree. Does not challenge Tanakama in the Reisha. My Tama, why Mishum Dahavi, the Matnao Mashkatuba Torah. This is something we saw in the ninth parak of Ketubot, the fifth parak of Ketubot, what he's doing is he's trying to rewrite the laws of Nazirut. He's saying, I want Nazirut, but of a different type, without the prohibition of wine. Or of Tumat Mate. So that's called Matnao Mashkatu Batorah. Matnao Mashkatu Batorah, Tano Batel. Anybody who makes an agreement that carries with it a certain set of restrictions or obligations, Midoraita, and he makes the agreements conditional upon not having those obligations or restrictions, the agreement is binding, and his condition is ignored. Now, Shimon Levi, what does he say? Hi, Almanat Kechut Stami. He said that when he says Almanat, what he meant was Chutz. In other words, we will see why Rabbi Shimon in Clause B says that you are not a Nazir. So for that reason, Rabbi Shimon also would say in Clause A, if you said I'm a Nazir, except for the issue of wine, why you would not be a Nazir. He's not making it as a condition. He's just trying to bubble out one piece of Nazirut and not accept it. And we'll see why for Rabbi Shimon that would be an out. Now, Tanya Kavateta Ravina, but we have a bright that supports Ravina, that to wit, Rabbi Shimon does not disagree in the Reisha. So the Braita explicitly presents our first clause and explains it in the terminology of Matneh Mashkatu V'Torah, which Rabbi Shimon, as we know, agrees with. Okay, now to clause B and C. Yodea Nishan Azir Asur B'Yayin. So in clause C, say that if the guy says, I know that I'm not allowed, that a Nazir can't drink wine, but I thought Chachamim would be Matir. Amart Reisha Asur, Rabbi Shimon Matir. In the Reisha, we had it flipped. Chachamim say, you are a Nazir, and Rabbi Shimon says, you're not. So, Imanami Reisha Asur, Rabbi Shimon Matir. So, a possibility one is to flip the clause C and say that in every case, Rabbi Shimon, demands more to become a Nazir, and if you thought you could drink wine, or you thought that it was an asur, or thought they would mate for you, then Rabbi Shimon says it's not a nazir, Chachamim do, so keep it consistent. But if you want to, we could stay with our text, which you'd of course always rather do, and not flip it. I would say, Hatam Reisha can go into Nazar Michara. Here's the case. In clause B, you took a nazir from one of the things. In other words, instead of saying, by saying I'm a Nazir and I didn't know a Nazir couldn't drink wine, what you're essentially saying is I'm accepting Nazirut vis-a-vis haircutting and maybe eating grapes, right? L'rabbonan damei afilu nazir ala mechat mehen havei nazir. You have to remember the Rabbonan back in the first parak said that if you take nazirut from only one item, you say I'm a nazir from grapes or from peels or from pits or whatever it is, you're a full nazir. Therefore, when you said I'm a nazir, I didn't know that a nazir couldn't drink wine, but you took a nazirut accepting haircutting, let's say, then that means you're a full nazir. According to Bishimon, you have to accept all of them. Therefore, if you thought one of them was out, you didn't accept all of them. Therefore, you're not a nazir. Seifa in clause C, the nadu mikulu, you took a full neder. And now, v'ichal michada, then you said, but I thought Chacham would matter me this thing, wine, undertaking. Rabbanan dami afilo nazir l'michachad mihen avi nazir. Since the Rabbanan say that you can become a nazir by accepting only one, ki michal michad minau ishtari. So if you are shoal on one of them, you're also out. In other words, it's not the intuitive way that we would think that Chacham say one component of nazirut gets you in, and therefore you need all of them to get you out because there's still one left. No. One of them will get you in, and therefore one of them will get you out. So if you're matter one piece of nazirut, you're out. Le Rabbi Shimon d'amar ad she'azimi kulam. Since Rabbi Shimon says that to become a nazir, you have to explicitly accept all of them. Ki micholam me'ahu ad'machol mikulu. Same thing. If you're shoal on one of them, that's not enough until you're shoal on all of them. And therefore Rabbi Shimon would say, you still are a nazir because all you did was say, I thought that undertaking they'd allow, or I thought that they would allow me to drink wine, but not the rest. That's answer number two. Answer number three. Their machloket is the machloket Shmuel and Ravasi at the beginning of the third parak of Nidarim. If you recall, the beginning of the third parak lists four different kinds of Nidarim that Chacham were matir. The classic case, Nidre Druzin. Nidarim people take in the marketplace when they swear they're not going to pay more than this amount or sell for less than this amount, and then they end up meeting in the middle because that's just the way of the marketplace. And that's Nidre Druzin. Nidre Havoy, when you say something like, I swear to F, I didn't see a camel flying or something weird. Nidre Shkagot, which is where you forgot that you had taken the neder, or had forgotten that the condition that kicked in the neder really had happened. And Nidre Onsin, which is you took a neder that you would be banned from something if you didn't show up at a party, and then you couldn't get to the party because you were nanas. And this we're calling a case of nidre onsin. Say, I can't help it. I'm an undertaker. That's my business. So now, Ravasi said, even though it says chacham matir, nonetheless, midrabanan, you need sheilat chacham to get released from it. Kemrita kamei Shmuel, and when Rav Yehuda repeated this word from Rav Asi from Eretz Yisrael, repeated it to Shmuel, his Rebbe, in Pumbadita. Amarli, Shmuel said, Hachitani, Tana Katani, Hatiru Chacham, the Tana said, Hitiru, V'yatamar Tzichin Sheila Chachamim, and you think you need to be Shoel? Hitiru means it's Mutter, it's not an Eder. So the equation is Rabbanan Savri Kishmuel, the Rabbanan of our Mishnah agree with Shmuel, that if it's a Nidre, I don't see there's nothing to take. So if you took an Eder of Nizirut, but in fact, you really cannot exist without wine, or you're living as to be an undertaker, then that's Nidre Onsin, and therefore you need no Sheila at all. Now, Rabbanan Savri Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Kravasi, Rabbi Shimon must hold like Kravasi, which is to say that you do need Sheila, but now it's very different. According to that, Rabbi Shimon says you're a Nazir only midrabanan, and you just have to go get a Sheila, Sheila Chacham, to get released from it. Very different than the earlier take, which has him be a full Nazir d'oraita. Okay, the next Mishnah. Hareini Nazir v'alayla galeach Nazir. A guy says, I'm a Nazir, and I will, literally means to shave another Nazir. What it means is, I will provide the korbanot for another Nazir. Another guy heard that. V'amar v'ani v'alayla galeach Nazir. He said, me too, and I will take care of a Nazir. If these guys were sharp, then mekalchin zedzeh, they take care of each other. In other words, the first guy, it becomes a nazir, and when the second guy ends his nazirut, the first guy provides the korbanot, and vice versa, and that way they each only end up spending the money for one set of korbanot, just not for themselves. If they're not that sharp, or they can't get together, or whatever, then each one of them has to take care of himself, and also has to take care of another. Picking up on this Mishnah, the Gemara asks the following question. Ibayaluhu, Shama chavir over marvani mahu. Let's say that in this case in our Mishnah, the other fellow heard it and just said Va'ani. Remember, the first fellow took a hafla of two things. One is a personal nazirut, and second of all, an obligation to provide korbanot for another nazir. The other fellow heard and just said Va'ani. Vani akule diboy mashma? Does vani mean I'm agreeing with everything and I'm confirming and copying everything the previous guy said? Odoma palga diboy mashma. Maybe vani is only on one of the components. And even so, palga diboy mashma, if you think it's only on one of the components, areisho asefa. Is it on the first thing the other fellow said? Or is it on the last thing heard? Toshma vani velaila galech nazir. The answer is right there in the Mishnah. The second guy said vani velaila galech nazir. From the fact that in the Mishnah, the second guy said Vani and Ve'alai, Shvamina Vani Apalga de Dibura. And that indicates that Vani only commits you to half of the statement, and the Ve'alai commits you to the other half of the statement. So Amri in. So they said, yeah, we know it only applies to half. Apalga de Dibura Mashma. Miwa Reshua Sefer. Our question was, does the Vani attached to the first thing and the major thing that the other fellow said, or to the last thing heard? So mina, the answer is, it's also from the Mishnah. Midika amar v'alai l'galeach. He said, v'ani en v'alai m'l'galeach. Shma mina v'ali al t'chilat dibur mashma. That v'ani is attaching to the first part, because the other part was left uncommitted, that the v'ani is, and I will also be a nazir. He had to also commit to the fact that he will also provide korbanot for another fellow by saying, v'alai l'galeach nazir. That is the Beit Midrash. Now, so he turned to Rav and said, who says that that's the way it is? Perhaps Vani really means I'm copying everything the fellow said. And you're concerned because the Mishnah said V'alai? V'alai Bahamilta. Maybe V'alai means he's just clarifying what he's committed to. If not, then look at the next Mishnah, which we'll get to in the next podcast. There he didn't say, I'm a Nazir. He just said, I'm committing to take care of Korbanot for half a Nazir, half the Korbanot. And then he said, and there he's not committing to be a Nazir, he's only committing to payment. Only one thing. There's no two things there. Why did he say alai? Bahamilta, alai just means I'm committing to this particular thing. Hachanamiki kamar alai bahamilta. Same thing in the Reisha. In our case, alai really is unnecessary. Vani would commit him to the entire statement. Alai is just confirming the thing. So Amarle Rava, Rava said that doesn't make sense. Hachi ashta, let's examine. Iyamar pishtama Reisha tzricha. If you will accept my position, which is that in our mission of V'alai is really needed, and Seifa Lutzricha, then we'll agree that V'alai in the next mission is not needed. In other words, if you just said Vani, that would be good enough. So Tani Seifa Lutzricha, Mishum Reisha Lutzricha. I understand why the Seifa, they used V'alai to be a parallel construction with the Reisha, where V'alai really was needed. But if you're going to tell me that V'alai is not needed in our Mishnah or the next Mishnah, why would he say V'alai in two consecutive Mishnayot where neither of them is needed? There's no parallel construction here. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so that's the end of that piece. And at that point, Rava demonstrates that V'ani really means it only applies to the first half. And V'alai L'galeach is what's needed in order to commit to the second half. Now we have what we refer to as a backdoor sugya, where there's a discussion going on about another topic, and then our Mishnah will be invoked, and it'll help us see how the Amoraim viewed our Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef Rabbi Yochanan, famous halach in Kiddushin. Ha'omer l'shtuchot, save a kadesh li'isha stam. A guy said, go out and be mekadesh a woman for me. And then the shliach disappeared. I never heard from him. Asur b'chol anashim yishim ha'olam. This fellow is not allowed to marry any woman, because any woman he would marry might be the sister of, or the mother of, or the daughter of, or some prohibited kin of the woman he's really married to. Chazaka shliach oseh shlichuto. And that's premised on the notion that we know that an agent fulfills his agency. Now, Kevin de lo parishlei, since the dispatcher did not tell him a girl from here or a girl from here or a girl from this family or a girl looks like this, therefore it could be any girl in the world. So he doesn't know which one is Mekadesh. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rish Lakish challenged him, and one little bit of an introduction in order to understand Rish Lakish's challenge. As I put in the note on the top of the page, there are several korbanot. Several situations in which a person is obligated to bring a korban of a nest, of a cane, which is two birds, and invariably those two birds are going to be matched pair, and one of them is an ola, and one of them is a chatat. And they're taken as a pair. Now, all of Masachet Kinim, which is short but very challenging, all of Masachet Kinim is devoted to the issue of what happens when one of the birds flies away. So the halacha is as follows, and this we'll see right away. If you just bought a nest of two birds and you didn't designate which one was going to be the ola, which was going to be the chatat, and one of the birds flew away, or it flew among other birds that were birds that cannot be used, there was a chatat where the owner died or was mitkaper elsewhere and the bird has to die, one of the two birds died, because you had not yet designated which was ola, which was chatat, all you have is a pair. One of them is gone and unavailable. You buy another one, and now you got a matched pair. V'ilu ken mefureshet ein lo takana. But the halacha is that if you have a ken mefureshet, meaning a nest where you already designated this is the olan, this is the chatat, and one of them went away, one of them died, whatever, and of course you don't know which one it is because they're a matched pair, there is no way to fix it. You have to get a new pair. Now, that only means that you got a problem, you got to get two other birds for your korban. But nobody says that every other nest in the world is also to get benefit from because it might have a korban in it. Rish Lakish is challenging Rabbi Yochanan and saying, why don't we imagine that every single bird that we see might be the bird that flew away, at least every torn gozal, might be the bird that flew away, and all birds or all torim gozalim, gozalot, are usher, based on your notion that every woman you meet might be the sister of or the of that girl. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan said back to his brother-in-law, Kamina Ana Yishad Elo Naida. I'm bringing an example from a woman who is set. A woman is a person. She stays in one place. She's in her house, even if she's not in her house, as we'll see in a moment. Amar Liat, I sort of deny it, and you're giving me a case of a bird that's always flying around. Now, what's the difference there? As we saw at the beginning of Masachik Tubot, an Isur, when you have a group of objects and one of them is asur and they are in a fixed place and you go and approach it, then it has a din of kavua, and even though it might be only one out of 100, each one is kemechza mechza, and it's a sofek ashakol, it's an even doubt of asur mutter, and therefore we say it's asur. On the other hand, if something's moving around and it's coming to you, then we say that we follow rov, and the rov, the birds in the world, are not from kinim, and therefore it's mutar. So he said, therefore you cannot compare the halacha of birds, where we say every other bird in the world is not affected by this bird that flew away, as opposed to every woman is now usher, as the possibility she may be the relative of the woman that you're really married to, that you don't know who she is. Now, Amor b'shuka ashkach v'kaddish, who says maybe the woman is also moving, maybe the shaliach found her in the shuk and is makadisher, says hadra niyachtuta. Even so, she goes back to her house, gabeken mi hadra, but as far as the nest goes, obviously the bird doesn't fly back because it didn't come back to this nest. So you can't compare them. Now, Amarava, that's all a setup for this. Amarava, umod de Rabbi Yochanan be isha she'in la lo bat, v'lo bat bat, v'lo bat bain, v'lo aim, v'lo achot. Rabbi Yochanan agrees that if there's a woman you meet who does not have any daughters or any granddaughters or any mothers or any grandmothers, or a sister alive. In other words, there is anybody in the world you make Kaddish could not have affected your relationship with this woman. Rabbi Yochanan agrees that that you could marry her. And even if she has a sister, but the sister at the time you sent the shaliach was married and she got divorced afterwards, then you could still marry this girl. Why? And that's the real part that we want to get to. Dahi sharya, that this woman is mutter. My tama, why? Dahi shata, the kamarle, havin esivan legavri. Because at the time that you told the shaliach to go be makadish a woman, the problem woman was married to a man. And kimashvi shliach, when does a person appoint a shliach? Milta de kaima kameh. He only appoints a shaliach for something that's available now to take care of. Milta de lo kaima kameh lo mashvi shliach. For something that's not available right now, he's not making him shaliach, which means that even if the shaliach went and found this woman who after you made him a shaliach had gotten divorced and he gave her the kiddushin, it wouldn't be a shlichut, because that's not somebody you had in mind. It's got to be somebody who was available and marriageable at the time you made him a shaliach. And therefore, if you find a woman who has no other kin, and she has one or two sisters who at the time you made the shaliach, they were married, therefore, even though they got divorced or widowed subsequent to the time that the shaliach got out there and he might have been mekadesh them, we don't consider that a possibility, and therefore you can marry this woman. Even Rabbi Yochanan would agree with that. Now, Tanan, let's see if that works. Hareini nazir v'alai l'galayach nazir. The our Mishnah that says that the first guy says, I'm a nazir and I'll cover for another one. Shemach v'erva marvani v'alai l'galayach nazir. And the other fellow said the same thing back. If these guys are sharp, they take care of each other. Now, if not, they have to take care of others. So I understand how number two, because when number one took his nazirut, number two accepted upon himself to take care of this other guy. I understand that. But when the first guy took his nazirut and said, and I'm going to take care of a nazir, number two wasn't a nazir yet. So how could we say that when number one said, and I'm going to cover for a nazir, how could we say that he was thinking about number two, who's not yet a nazir? Because if that's the case, then that means that when I send a shaliach out to go marry somebody for me, that means I even have to take into account somebody who, when I made him a shaliach, was unavailable, but became available later. And Rava said that Rabbi Yochanan would consider that different. So, Elahachi Kamar, the answer is that in our Mishnah we see, Imishkach Naravi Nazir Agalche. What the fellow was saying, if I find that there is somebody who is a valid Nazir, I'll take care of him. In other words, he wasn't saying, I am going to take care of this Nazir or that Nazir. She's saying, if I can find some other Nazir around, I'll take care of him. So, Hachanami Hachi Kamarle, maybe the guy who sent a Shaliach for Kiddushin said to him, Imishkacha Demigar Shakadishli. Maybe he said, if you find a woman who recently got divorced, be Makadishir for me. So the answer is, Amri Lomashvi Inishli Alechal Milta Damatzi Avid Hashta. Now we have to distinguish between covering for Nazirut and the Shlichut for the woman who is currently married. The rule is that a person does not make somebody a shaliach except for something that he himself could perform right now. Since right now the woman's married, therefore she's unavailable to me. Therefore I'm not making you shaliach to mekadesh her, even if subsequently she gets divorced. However, right now I could commit to bring korbanot for you. And therefore, it works. Now, v'lo, is that really true? Toshma, we go to the end of Nedarim. Ha'omer la'apotropos, a guy appoints a trustee. Shelo. Kol nedarim shtador ishti mikan ad shavama kumploni haferla. He says to the apotropos, I'm going on a trip. Any nedarim my wife takes while I'm gone, I want to be mefer for her. Veferla, yachol yupufarin, I might think that they are validly rejected. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah says, Yishayi kimenu yishayi firenu. The husband has to be the one to reject them. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonatan disagrees and says, Matzina b'chol makom shishlucho shel adam kemoto. Rabbi Yonatan says, no, we find that shlucho shel adam kemoto, a man shaliach is like himself, and therefore the apotropos should be good. Now, Tam of the Rachmana Yishai Kemenu Yishai Yifrenu, even Rabbi Yoshia, his only reason it doesn't work is because it demands that you yourself have to do it and shlichut doesn't work. Halav ha'ach apotropos mefer? Even according to Rabbi Yoshia, if one for the pasuk, the apotropos would have the ability to reject the nedarim. But what do we know about the husband himself? If a fellow's leaving on a trip and he says to his wife, any nedarim you take between now and when I come back are kayam, that's nothing. Harein Mufarin, if he says, they're all rejected, Rabbi Lazar Meir Mufar, Chachamim Eino Mufar, Chachamim say that you can't be made for, which means that we now have the following conundrum. If you tell the apotropos to be Mayfair now, be Mayfair Nadarim, that my wife takes in advance, I'm telling you in advance, to be Mayfair Nadarim that she takes, that's valid. However, if you say yourself to your wife, any Nadarim you take in the next month while I'm gone are Mufar, according to Chachamim, it's not Mufar. So that means that your shaliach can do more than you can do. A person reasonably sends a shaliach to do something that right now he doesn't have the power to do, but later on will become available and the shaliach will be on the spot. So kasalka daidach kamer of Yoshia. So we think that Rabbi Yoshia's position is alibet rabbanan damri lo matzi mefer. It's following the rabbanan who said that the husband cannot be mefer. And even if the Torah had not said that the husband himself has to do it, apotropos could do it. And that confuses us. Because that means that the Rabbanon's position is the husband cannot be made for an advance, but he can appoint a shaliach in advance to be made for when the time comes. So Avatropos are made for. The answer is that maybe Rabbi Shia is following Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the husband can be made for an advance. So if that's the case, why make a shaliach? Why doesn't the husband just say to his wife, and in the dorm you take in the next month or move far? The answer is because over Dilma Mishtalina, maybe I'll forget, or Atachno, I'll get angry, or Mitridna, I'll be busy when I come back, and I'll hear about it, and the day will come, the day will go, I'll forget to be made for. So I'm telling the Apotropos, and he'll take care of it for me. Okay, so therefore we have solved our Mishnah, and it's perfectly legitimate for a person to say, and somebody who takes in a zirut afterwards, he could cover that, because it's something that's in his power to do, as opposed to sending shaliach for kiddushin with somebody who is currently a grusha, but then becomes available afterwards. Okay, Mirat Hashem, we will pick up at this point, with the Harei Alayla Galeach Chatzin Azir, in the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.